Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. We are into the penultimate episode of this season. This season is all about connection, and this theme is coming to life in different ways each week of the show. Myself and my special guests will be diving into mindset, success, well-being, and relationships as we journey into a different facet of the theme of connection in each episode. And this week, I am bringing you a conversation with my favorite healer in Bali, Jimmy Doyle. I've had quite a few sessions with Jimmy over the years, and he's also the healer I choose to come and support my retreat guests on my Bali retreats. He was also a guest speaker slash healer on my virtual Bali retreat last year as well. And I know how incredibly game-changing some of his insights were for some of that group, as well as my in-person attendees in Bali. So I'm really, really excited to bring you my conversation with him this week. He has taught me a huge amount about connecting with myself and my body, and also broader wisdom about life. He's also the person who first introduced me to the idea that all of our symptoms, physical and mental, are related to a belief or emotion we hold about ourselves. And this has, of course, helped me hugely in my own life, but it's also helped me to help my mentees a lot as well. So in most conversations with my mentees, some of Jimmy's wisdom will come in at one point or another. So I'm really, really excited to bring you this conversation this week. In our chat, we discuss the unique way he works with his clients and why he prefers to describe himself as a facilitator rather than as a healer, how the symptoms, pain, physical issues we experience are connected to our emotions and or our beliefs, his belief that many women are disconnected from their bodies and why he thinks that is. He tells a really, really powerful story about his own daughter here. The impact that our connection with other people has on our own well-being. The most common physical issues he sees Western women coming to him with. Hint, hormones rank very highly in his response to this question. The simple practices that he recommends for us to stay connected with ourselves and protect our energy. And I've used these and they are incredibly powerful and easy to do. The pressure points we should stimulate to balance our thyroid function and the points for overall hormonal balance as well. And the main negative programs behind hormonal imbalances, liver issues, breast problems, and thrush and candida. So I'm really, really, as I said, excited to bring this conversation. Jimmy's philosophy might be quite new for some of you listening. And so I would just encourage you to listen with an open mind. And as I said, and we talk about towards the end of this episode, we really have absolutely nothing to lose from at least giving some of the practices and the ideas that he discusses in our conversation a try. So I'm very, very excited to bring on Jimmy Doyle to the show this week. So Jimmy, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. I feel like I'm getting my little hit of Bali chatting to you today. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Lorraine. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to spread a different way of thinking around to other people. That's we all get our little programs in us. This is just to offer a different program of how we can manage ourselves and our health and our well-being. So thank you.
Love how you put that. Oh, thank you. So, Jimmy, I've talked about you a lot with obviously my Bali retreat guests, with my community. I mentioned you on the podcast a few times. You pop up every now and then in my work. And I struggle sometimes to describe how you work and what you do. So I pretty much just say you're my favorite healer in Bali. And that's about as far as I can get. I can obviously expand on it a bit more. But would you, just for the benefit of everyone listening, because I know we're here to talk about the connection between our emotions, our beliefs, and our bodies, and our I guess our lives more broadly, can you explain, just as we kick off, how you actually work with the people that you work with?
So I do two forms of work. One, where physically people come here and I physically treat them and also FaceTime with people. So what I describe myself as the body-mind therapist. I work in the field of healing, but I'm a therapist, I'm a facilitator. What I show people is their ability to heal because they have the ability to attract things. So in physically here, I would touch in deep tissue. I use ligament, tendon, organ adjustment and acupressure whilst using words to reprogram subconscious patterns that cause physical illness and pain and blockages in the mind and body, and also then a method of protection when those situations come to us. Mm-hmm. So on FaceTime with people, what I would do with them, instead of me touching them, they learn to touch themselves. But it's the words that change things. That's what I use, is the power of words, the law of attraction, and showing people their own power. Mm-hmm. That's in a nutshell pretty well what I do. I've been doing this for 38 years. Obviously, we've progressed from what I started to where I am now. We keep adding different modalities in with those things, but it's just putting more and more into understanding what the emotions do to our physical body, and because they're more powerful than what people give them credit to.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And yeah, having worked with you several times now, yeah, the power of what you do is amazing. So you were the first person to introduce me to Louise Hay. I had never come across her before. I feel like I had loosely, but the first time I saw you, you had a copy of Heal Your Body in your studio that you work from in near Seminyak. Can you explain to us Louise's work and how you integrate that into what you do?
So Louise, what she calls herself, or what she passed away 2 years ago, but she describes herself as the metaphysical. So metaphysical, just referring to body mind. So Louise, somehow that she's a very powerful, incredible woman, has come up with an A to Z of every ailment, problem, pain that comes to people, and then an emotional attachment that comes with that. And then a series of statements or thought patterns or affirmations, whatever term you like to use for it, to actually change the program of thinking that actually heals the illness or the problems. Now, this doesn't matter whether it's an ingrown toenail, cancer, a sore back, a sleeping problem, a period problem, they're all of the same origins. And so what she would get you to do in her particular deal, she has a statement for, you know, a problem, and she'll give several origins where the emotion might cause it. Now, people, a lot of times, Louise Hay is very accurate and very proper, but people have got to be very raw and honest with themselves about looking at this situation. And instead of looking at the one thing that says in there that's not them, they've got to look at the three other things that are there. Mm. And then that's what causes the problem. So she, as I said, her insight to what creates this condition is very powerful. So too is another woman named Anna Nuntil. A book was also written afterwards called The Body is the Barometer of the Soul. Now, they're two great handbooks that people can keep with them, that take with them. That's like a first aid kit that they take. So if they're away and they get a headache or a back pain or a problem that comes to a bladder infection, to go and look it up and then be really honest with themselves and go, who am I pissed off and annoyed with? Mm. Which is the person? So they start addressing that. Little thing that I add to it that Louise doesn't do is this little method of protection. And it's something that I encourage everyone to start using. And it's putting the tip of the tongue to the roof of the mouth, but it's where you put it is what's important. If you put their tongue up to the roof of the mouth, if you just gently touch the tip and move it into the high part of the palate, you just gently move the tongue around, you'll find there's an area that's incredibly sensitive or ticklish. That's whenever you feel vulnerable, frustrated, when your head's doing nonsense to you, when you're dealing with people that you don't particularly like, but you have to deal with them. And that might be a client, it might be family, it might be a friend, it might be down at the shops. But it's this little technique. Nobody knows you're doing it because your mouth is closed. You still see and hear. But what it does, it connects your pineal gland, and pineal gland is our third eye. So this point you're touching on the roof of your mouth lines up right in line with the pineal gland, which sits at the back at the bottom of your brain. So this adds to this little thing about what Louise Hay does. Because how I would use her in my treatments, I will touch where the block is. I will say the word pattern out. I then get people to repeat the pattern. And some is very difficult for people because it's not how they're programmed, so it's not what they believe. So it's very difficult for them to say it. Yesterday, a young gentleman who came in here who had incredible issues with women, what I touched on his shoulder block where the pain was, and got him to say, all my experiences in life with females are joyful and loving. He couldn't say that, and he just cried. Mm. Because all these experiences were not. So I brought up all those emotions to him. Mm. So by saying that and holding the trigger and this is also important to understand. Left side of the body issues.
I'm just going to ask you to touch on that. Yeah. So who's this left shoulder?
So left shoulder is to do with burden, with attitude. So it's left side is to do with females. Mm-hmm. So in his head, he was either burdened from, in his case, was with other females, particularly his mother. But this is left side is female, right side is male. So we start focusing where the issue is, and we start identifying where it comes from. So that's really important to also understand. So that then in the future, because you can't change other people, this is the important thing we do. We think we can change people. We can only protect ourselves from situations that happen with people. Mm-hmm. So by using this tongue, nobody knows you're doing it. And as you connect that point there, you connect your third eye, which is what your pineal gland is, which is opening wisdom, insight, intuition. So we start using our little skills that we're being gifted. I've said this to you before, women are very gifted with their third eye. Mm-hmm. Men are not. They need to learn it. And most men's egos choose not to do it. And most women have it but choose not to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing in power that women are. They're mothers. And a woman will look at a child, whether it's hers or not, and she'll know if that child's sick, hungry, tired, or there's nothing wrong with them because her intuition will tell her that. Mm. You ask a man the same thing, he'll just shrug his shoulders and go, I don't know.
They're just crying.
Yeah. One good thing happens with men, when men become fathers, and not all men, but a lot of men, their perception starts to open because they have to start using those skills.
Yeah, so that's true.
This is a little thing that a thing we're going to talk a lot about today is with women's power and absorbing their power but using that power to their nth degree. A lot of women would describe as my masculine side. I mean, a woman doesn't have a masculine side as a man doesn't have a feminine side. Men are men, women are women. What women think to survive in this world, to be powerful, they have to adopt male-like conditions or male-like attributes. Mm-hmm. It's nonsense. It's women are powerful because they're women. Men are powerful because they're men. Mm. And it's different, but we're neither more powerful nor better than the other. We just have our own little attributes. But it's learning to adapt to them. And, of course, we then can open our head to absorb these other little skills and powers that other people have and use them ourselves. But they're generally learned patterns, particularly with men.
Yeah. I want to come back to that intuition piece in a second. And I just wanted to say that that protection method that you taught me, oh, my gosh, years ago, I probably do it multiple times a day, that putting the tongue to the tip of the top of my mouth. And it's just, I think it works energetically, but it also just gives me something to focus on. Like if someone is annoying me, whether it's Wade or Lexi, or I'm feeling nervous about something, if I'm in a situation where I'm feeling uncomfortable or nervous, if it's a work situation or whatever it might be, I do it all the time. It's almost unconscious now. And it's such an empowering thing to do. As I said, I do think there's an energetic benefit to it, but also just giving yourself something proactive that you can do almost as a comfort, if that's probably the best way to describe it, is really, really helpful.
Some people put themselves in a bubble, some put wrist bracelets on, some put a coat of reflective mirrors. This is a very simple situation, but what I say to people, it's generally the last thing you think of, but it should be the first thing you think of. And when you're emotional, it's very hard to remember that. And if I had a dollar for every time someone said when they come back for treatment and I asked them, do you use your tongue? Oh, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. But we're not experts at anything we do the first time we do it. And that's the problem, people pressure on themselves. But the more we do it, the more we'll actually be good at doing it, the more we understand what it does. An interesting thing I don't often say, but this actually works even better for men than for women because men actually do one thing really well at a time. Women can do five things at a time. So it totally distracts men because their focus, just what you said there, is on their tongue. Mm. So it's nonsense going on them. So there's enough women can see their power. They have abilities to do several things at a time and quite well. Men actually don't have that abilities, and that's not being detracting. That's just how we are. Mm. So,
it gives you something else to focus on for sure. And you're right. You know, the first time the first two or three times I saw you in Bali, you did the tongue thing. Like, hey, I need to remember. And whatever dropped in last time, I mean, I haven't seen you for a year and a half, not longer. Then it's that whole thing of practice makes permanent. I feel like now it's almost like a permanent tool that I use. And as I said, I use it daily. Can we come back to that whole idea of connection? So as you know, this season of the podcast is all about the theme of connection. And one of the reasons I was super excited to talk to you on this topic is that I feel like what I see a lot in my community, and also I kind of dip in and out of this myself, depending on the life stage that I'm at, is the sense of women being really disconnected from their bodies and their feminine power by extension of that. And I had an experience recently with a mentee, so someone I was coaching, and we were in an in-person session together. And she was telling me about an experience she had where she had a growth on the side of her neck. And it was almost like she just didn't even realize it was there. And she went to a GP about something unrelated. And the GP said, yeah, okay, we'll talk about this, but what's going on with this thing on your neck? And she was almost so disconnected, literally from the neck down, that she just didn't even, she was completely unaware of this growth on her neck. It turned out to be completely benign and it wasn't a major issue. But for me, it was just such a symbol of how disconnected we women can become from our bodies. Is this something that you see in your work, obviously, particularly with the Western women that you work with?
Totally. Just that was probably a cyst you were talking about there. And
yeah, that, it was.
Those cysts come when we run painful movies, when we nurse hurts, when we have false growths. And quite interesting, my daughter had one of them at 15, and I was a father not aware of that particular deal. But as a little girl, she asked, could we go and get this attended to or get it cut out, because she didn't feel beautiful with it. And, of course, as a father, I agreed that's exactly what we'll go and do. And the doctor cut it out, and it was just what you described, a benign sac of sebaceous tissue, which was not an issue. But the fact was it was a growth inside of her. And, of course, that was cut out. She had a few stitches put on. She was very happy about it. Lorraine, within 4 or 5 months, it had come back. Not only come back, but it was bigger than it was before.
Wow. So on her neck?
On her neck.
Oh, my gosh.
Can we get this cut out again, Daddy? And I said, actually, no, not this time. Now we actually go and work out what was put there, because how many times do you get things cut out of you before you work out what's eating you up? And
yes, yes.
With that issue, she was a very powerful young lady, and we lived in a coastal area where I had 2 daughters, 1 year apart, and one daughter was the typical blonde, you know, sporting, popular young woman. My youngest daughter was captain of the debating team. A thick Nana Muscuri glasses, didn't think she was beautiful, thought her sister was. And so she couldn't describe this. So that was in her throat chakra where that came. And that manifested this hurt she was nursing, because she didn't speak up and realized how beautiful and powerful she was. Because on her phone, I saw her that way. But that's not how she saw herself. So that's what she saw, this thing. And this is the power of healing. She then got in front of the mirror every day and said, all the movies in my mind are beautiful because I choose to make them that way. So instead of the nightmare she was running, and I can't give you the exact time of how it actually, how long before it cleared, but she's now 41, and that cleared in that as a 15-year-old, and it's never come back.
Wow, that's amazing. So it just shrank away on all of its own, all on itself, all by itself.
That's what this is about. This is all about this stuff we created in a matter of no time, which means if we change the program in our subconscious, then we'll actually change the thing with it. So this bit about connection with body, a little things like a woman will have thrush or candida and just tolerate it, instead of actually understanding it's not from diet, it's not from sexual activity, it's not from being unhygienic. Those two particular things, example thrush is when we have anger at making the wrong decisions. So we'll be that disconnected from ourselves, we won't realize that our head is causing that physical problem. And instead of this thing where we're looking for everyone else's approval, acceptance, appreciation, which is what happens to us, then we attract this pain or problem. So we'll go to a medical situation and get creams or potions or medications for it. And the thing is, it'll help mask it, but it generally doesn't cure it. And this is the thing about connection of self or communication with self and understanding what's doing in our head. Now, we all get angry at making the wrong decisions, but there's a woman thing again. They won't describe it or won't talk about it. So the physical thing comes out of it. Candida is also about being scattered, lots of frustration and anger, demanding and untrusting in relationships. And, you know, there's, again, the lack of connection with self to understand that thing in our head then causes physical things in our body, which we then have programmed, go and get them addressed medically. And that's the discommunication we have, because our first discommunication is subconscious. If we're not listening to what our subconscious is telling us, then we all end up with all different types of problems that come there. And the thing, I think, with what happens with women is because the expectations of what a woman was programmed many generations ago was to be a mother, to be a wife, to be a housekeeper. Now, that is an important role, but the point is in this modern day, most women are either independent or have their own businesses or create those things. So they're still wearing 20 hats to be who they are. And this is this discommunication of self, because they focus on those things instead of focusing on themselves. Mm. And that's what this thing is about, getting about not being, it's not being selfish or egotistical. It's about learning how to center on ourselves. And that's not how we're programmed. And the first important thing we need to do is to love ourselves. And I know you wouldn't have come from that program. I sure didn't. But that's what we need to start doing. And it sounds corny, but getting in front of the mirror, particularly naked in front of your body, looking at yourself and saying, oh, I love and approve of myself. I love and
I love you. The tone.
Because we'd all get there and feel stupid instead of going, of course we do. The first time we do anything, we don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. But the more we do anything, such as learning a language, learning to swim, learning to put your makeup on, it doesn't matter what it is. We're not experts the first time, but it's getting brave to step out of that zone that we're programmed into and to realize these are common sense things. And if we start to use our, which women are gifted with very powerfully, is their common sense. They're just not allowed to be the powerful women they are. So I believe it's the titles that women have had to create and the positions they've had to do, which helps them disconnect from their power as women. One thing I do with women, particularly related to menstrual issues, which is a very common problem that happens with women.
Mm-hmm.
If I ask most women to go back to their first introduction with their periods, and I ask them, was it a wonderful experience with their mother or was it an uncomfortable? And 90% answers are, it was embarrassing, uncomfortable. I wanted to hide from it. It was not discussed about their power. So it was all shameful done. Instead of saying, my God, darling, this is the most wonderful thing that's going to happen to you as a woman. This is your power. Now, every 28 days, for 4 to 6 days, you're going to menstruate. This means your power is that as a woman. You're also going to ovulate 2 times every cycle. You're also going to have the ability to have babies. You're the only gender that has a uterus. You're the only gender that has ovaries. You're the only gender that has a cervix. So no matter how good men and powerful men think they are, that's the power of a woman. So what I get to do with women on touching certain points is to say, I embrace my feminine principles. I love being a woman. And I believe that's the first discommunication that happens with women. They're not programmed into loving being women. So therefore their power is given away. And that's the start onset of it as little girls, because they're not welcomed into that world of being a powerful woman. Because no matter how good men think they are, they can't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's not a man, and I don't feel the need to do it. But the fact is, I understand it's a very powerful thing that women must embrace. Mm. Instead of, because it's an example of a 30-year-old woman coming and say, you're going to menstruate for another 20 years. The most common responses I get is, oh, no, instead of wonderful. I have a woman who's in her mid-60s who still menstruates incredibly regularly.
Wow.
Incredibly awfully. Exactly. This is not the norm, but the fact is she loves being a woman so much. I asked her one day, why don't you not just let it go? She's never had children. But what I describe her as is a mother of the world. She's an amazingly wonderful woman to everyone.
Wow, but that's amazing.
She's in that role. And she's also a powerful businesswoman as well. But the fact is she said, I love that principle of being a woman. It makes me feel powerful. The same term when women go through menopause, it's all of a sudden their head starts getting the program, well, I'm good for nothing now.
Mm.
I'm going to go. But this is the point, is this is when they then get that term of menopause comes to them, where they'll stop realizing there's a great use to them in many, many ways. And it's not just as being mother or grandmother or whatever. It's still being that powerful woman who has all these experiences to share with young women. And that's also where it's getting better and better in mentorship, such as what you're doing here, Lorraine. This is great to see women empowering other women, because men have always had this issue, and it's generally about sport because that's an important thing to men. But they mentor a lot, but business is happening a lot. But it's more and more happening with women, with business, with life, with their whole perception of being a woman. And if I could encourage any woman to do one thing every day, is to look in the mirror and say, oh, I embraced my feminine principles. I love being a woman. And that in turn will connect her being a woman.
Yeah.
No matter what her title is, she's always a woman.
Yeah. I think you've raised a really interesting point here, Jimmy. So I've just come back from, I called it my reconnection tour. So I've just been traveling around Australia, hosting an event, which is all about helping women transition more into their feminine energy. So acknowledging the fact that a lot of women are stuck in that masculine go, 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 make it all happen, wear all the hats, juggle, 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 that energy, and helping them transition into that softer, more creative, more flowing feminine energy. And something that's come through at every single event. So I ran this event in Canberra, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and Adelaide, and did a virtual event as well. And something that's come up in every single event is that sense of, I don't feel safe being a woman. Like, I feel like almost like being in my masculine energy is my protection or my shield. And if I drop into this feminine energy, who will I be? What value can I add at work? What will my relationships look like? There seems to be a sense for a lot of women, and I get it. Like, I understand, I've experienced it myself, that if we do run on this, I don't want to say softer power, because I think we have this idea that feminine energy is like very soft and woo-woo and floaty. And if I think about like birthing, for example, I think you've got the element of surrender and the responsiveness to whatever's going on. But also you've got that fierce warrior feminine energy as well. So where do you think that whole idea of us being in our feminine energy isn't safe? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, the interesting thing you say that. That's one thing I asked two women this week, have actually described in their relationship they're not safe. And yet they describe both their men as very good men. But I think, you know, my dad taught us, as there was five boys in my family, two girls. And one of the things, my dad was a typical big Australian male, a bit chauvinistic, but he was a good quality man. And one of the great lessons he taught us as young boys, my mum was really sad one day, and clearly that was not an often case for her. Someone with seven children and a pretty tough life, that's pretty rare, but she was a tough woman, She was a great woman. But this particular day she was really sad, and I remember seeing my mum and dad sitting in the lounge room with my dad's arms around her and thinking, oh, my God, what's happened? And she's crying and he's just holding her. And so we all skated out of the house, as kids would do, because it's a bit tough for us to see that emotional stuff. But the next day, he's got all five boys in the van. We're going off to a footy game, and he said, so you would have seen something yesterday that was a bit unusual. Your mother was crying and she was sad. And of course, we've all just got our heads down and didn't really want to answer that. And he said, so let me assure you something as a man, what men's roles is. He said, your job is to make that woman safe. He said, you don't tell her to stop crying. You don't tell her you're going to fix this up, because women will fix things up themselves. They're powerful. But he said, your job as a man is to get your big arms, get them around her, hold her, make her safe. And I was probably 12, as a young boy, it was one of those great things of saying, is that all I've got to do? I can do that. And there's one of the great things that he taught his five sons was, make your woman safe.
You just made me teary. That's just so beautiful. And it's almost, as a woman, and maybe like a hormonal pregnant woman, it just speaks to my soul. Like, that's all a lot of women do want, is just to be made to feel safe. And your dad's so right. Women are incredibly resourceful. We will figure it out, but we just need the container around us almost to feel safe. That's incredible. What a gift for him to share that with you.
He was a good guy. But the thing, that's what happens with women, where this first safety thing is not there. So as little children growing up, they need their dad there. And this is, again, what society does, where there isn't the mum and dad always together. And that's a common thing in society, and it's very accepted. But those little children aren't taught, as little ones, when they're sad, and this is not being sourced, it's when they're sad, there's no one there holding them, making them safe. So I believe this is, again, a thing that happens to females particularly, is because there isn't that strong male figure there making that woman safe to say, you're okay, you'll sort this out, but I'll hold you until you actually feel that safety come back to you. So somehow women have got to learn this deal of over-attracting men who do that, but learning how to embrace themselves to be safe. See, one of the things that goes with back is always about support, and that's what our low back is. And one of the things I get people to say in that is, I trust the process of life. All I need is always taken care of. I'm safe. My future's safe. All is well. So they're putting those claims out there. But this is, again, the power of words. So a lot of this onus has got to come back to us as how we actually manage this, because we create this stuff. So we've got to actually learn how to deal with ourselves. We're not taught to say these words and the power of what these words do. Initially, we feel stupid going, why are we saying them? But those two things, I'm safe, my future's safe, puts this category back into, we actually take control of our care of self. And then hopefully in that we then attract like minds around us who do the same things. Mm-hmm. But our society's become so disjointed and so not caring, and it is a difficult place we're getting to. But the more women like you help show women their power, and that's part of my purpose in the work that I do, is to show not just women but men their power as well. This is a thing that needs to constantly be reiterated, and we don't learn something by doing it just once, and this is the problem. Until we learn to do these things repetitively over and over again, such as the tongue, then that we don't get the influence of how powerful they actually are or what they're doing for us. Mm. So I encourage that little one. Again, mirror work is an amazing thing to do because you've got to look into your eyes. You've got to actually see what you're doing.
Yeah.
So looking into the eyes and seeing these little things of just simply saying, I'm safe, my future's safe. Mm. Because if they go, this is all about programs. And as little ones, whether it be at school, whether it be with family, whether it be in a sporting team, whether it be anywhere, if we're not taught to be this connection and be safe, then how do we create that thing about we make others safe? Mm. If we're not brilliant, how do we actually know?
And it's what you just said there, Jimmy, is that if we can't feel safe ourselves, how do we make others feel safe? Is that what you said?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
exactly.
That's huge. Yeah. Wow.
It's also, if we're not showing it, then we can't show it to others as well.
Yeah, and we definitely can't model it for our children either. If we're going through our lives feeling unsafe day to day, whether that's emotionally unsafe or energetically unsafe or whatever it might be.
I'm a father again now, and I have a 2-year-old, and I also have 41 and 42-year-old daughters.
I just love your age gap. It's gold.
This time, Lorraine, I actually chose that. As a 20-year-old, I didn't choose that, but I've watched this little guy who I probably wouldn't have been right to have a male at that young age. But at this point, I understand what my influence is on that child. And probably men probably shouldn't be fathers until they're in their 50s or 60s because they've got to work out their shit before they actually do that to us.
Yeah.
Well, I realise no matter what comes out of my mouth, that little boy repeats to an entity. Some of the things I'm going, oh, actually, I said that, and he just said it in front of someone else, and they were words that I probably shouldn't have said in the first place. But he repeats because he trusts everything that comes out of dad's mouth.
Yeah.
According to him, in this little situation, 2 times he's actually vomited. And then that's interesting, 2.5 years, that's the only times he's actually regurgitated anything. And my wife instantly said, he's sick, Jimmy. And I said, no, he's not sick, actually. I said, when people vomit, they're actually violently rejecting new ideas. And he's a strong-headed little boy who likes his little pattern of what he does. I mean, you're a mum. You understand what children do.
Yeah.
They get their little patterns. And sometimes it's not safe for them, and it will cause grief to them, either in physical pain or in something wrong later. So as parents, our job is to put boundaries up in front of them. And it's not always that easy, and it's not that much fun, and the kids don't like it.
No, they don't.
2 times he vomited. Not only vomited, he vomited right in my face. And they were good projectile jobs. But both times I'd put firm conditions into him about what he could or couldn't do in this particular situation. It's irrelevant what the situation was. But what he was doing was straight away back saying, I'm violently rejecting that new idea. Yeah. Now, I had to keep this safety bit of camp. I had to keep reaffirming that in a calm manner, not being aggressive, not yelling at him, but calmly keep explaining those things because this little boy has 3 languages in his head. He speaks English, Bahasa Indonesian, and also Sunda. So, because that's what he's hearing. And we also don't realise the power of what these little children's ability to absorb, good and bad. And so it doesn't matter what language is said to him. Quite interesting, his absorption or comprehension of it is superb. And because things I'll say the same word in a different language to him, a couple of mine is Sunda, is Bahasa Indonesian and English, and I'll say it to him both. But he responds exactly the same to both languages. So his understanding, his perception is great. The communication is frustrating, and that's why he did that being sick, because he couldn't say to me, Dad, but this is what I want to do, because his vocabulary was not strong enough. His understanding, his perception was very powerful, so he understood what was going on, which meant that in future when that situation came, and I'd been through it several times with him explaining why it wasn't safe or why it wasn't good or why he couldn't do that or how he should react, and there were positive good things, he now understands it, but he then doesn't try and put his little pea-headed way in the dale of saying, I'm going to do that. He understands, that's given me a couple of good reasons for this. And there's, again, as parents, if we give our kids these options, we then give them that safety to make those choices themselves, which are safe for them. Mm. And this is, we all influence each other, whether it's a parent, with a school teacher, a coach, a boss, a, you know, a friend. We all influence each other. And some of these influences are beautiful. Some are absolute nonsense. And
Well, that was actually the next question I wanted to ask you. You brought me very neatly onto that. How much does our connection with other people impact our own well-being? So whether that's our mental well-being or our physical well-being? You know, I'm sure you, I share a lot of the story that you shared with the first experience. I think, no, it was the second experience I had of seeing you, where I was hosting a group of 9 women on a retreat in Bali. They were arriving the day after I saw you. And I went in for a session with you. You were going to be seeing my group at our villa, but I wanted to see you on my own. Just kind of felt like I wanted to be cleared energetically before I saw my group. And as soon as I sat down in your little studio, you said, "What's going on with your left shoulder?" And I said, "What? What? You know, nothing. Like, it's fine. I have no pain." And you said, "No, it's all out of whack." And you came and pressed on it, and it was so painful. And I didn't even know that there was anything happening there. And you said, you explained to me at that point that our left hand side is our relationship with ourselves as a female or with other females. And I pretty much had this like burden on my left shoulder of like, I've got these 9 women coming, 7 of them I had never met before. They're coming to spend a week with me in Bali, and just the responsibility of making this an amazing experience for them was literally weighing heavily on my shoulder. So I think I've experienced it in various different ways, whether it's family relationships or relationships with Wade, and it's shown up in different ways in my body. How much do you see that happening with people that you work with in terms of their connection with others and how that's affecting their well-being?
Unbelievable amounts. I'm just, the story you were talking about before, I'll describe that little story to you, because this talks about the effect of others on us. Yeah. Many, many years, nearly 30 years ago, I met a gentleman when I was ordained here in Lebongan, and this guy was probably the most powerful man I've ever met. And we did an energy treatment on me, and it was something that was just offered, and it was an impromptu thing. And anyway, he held hands, and he was an amazing man about feeling energy. And he asked me why I touched so many people, and I laughed at him and said, I'm a massage therapist, that's what I do. And he said, no. He said, "Dad, you don't need to touch people, Jim." He said, "You just use words." And I said, "Oh, my modality is touch, so that's what I do." And he stood up, and he stood maybe 1 inch from my face. So as a male, I'm not that, and especially an Australian male, I'm not that comfortable with any man standing that close to me. So I'm pretty comfortable straight away. And then just let loose these words, and he said, "You fucking low-life piece of shit." Now, I apologize for those words to offend him. That's not the thing. But what he did was just jam these words straight in front of me. And honestly, I felt sick to the stomach instantly, and I wanted to lean back and headbutt him. As he finished that statement, Lorraine, he then leaned in and pushed his forehead against mine, which made me even more comfortable, and said, "Oh, I love the energy of your heart, Jim." Both my knees collapsed. I've never ever felt love off anyone like I felt off this man. Wow. What do you mean, the power of words and the power of what others can do? So when we, if we were able to watch auras on people, and some people feel energy, some people see auras, but if you were watching two people having an argument, and you'd see as one gets the upper hand, they'd be starting to pull that colour or energy or aura off that other person. The other person gets it back, they pull the aura back. It goes back and forth until someone so-called wins the argument. That person walks away all puffed up. The other person's shoulders drop, heads down, feels like crap. There's an instant influence of what we let other people do. Now, this can happen in much harsher ways or much simpler ways, but people, I'm sure we've all heard of the term energy vampires. And
yes.
There's people who just go around sucking energy out of people, of trying to dominate or control, and in some way that makes them feel powerful. And this, again, is what the beauty of the tongue is, because they don't know you're doing it. You still see you here, but it's the most amazing protection. Of, they can say all sorts of things, but you're actually protected. So we then don't get influenced by other people as we normally would. And as I said, whether it's a friend, a lover, a family member, whatever, others influence us if we let them. And that's the problem, is we're not taught or programmed how to actually protect ourselves, because others, no matter how stupid their opinion or how wrong it is, they're actually entitled to it, as we're entitled to protect ourselves. So this thing of where we think someone's better or worse, I mean, it's nonsense, because we're all equal, we're all the same. Some people just have a different gift of their gift of the gab, so they can actually be dominant with words. Other people get, you know, anxious and can't say what they mean. So the influence of other people on us is quite incredible, and it's that thing of the tongue keeps us in our own power, because we're only responsible for ourselves. But there isn't one of us who are the same, and we've got to start to learn to love and be comfortable with our own unique energy and our own unique power. Mm-hmm. But we're all relying on someone else's approval, appreciation, and acceptance. Again, my age has also put me in a difference of this. This is, again, being influenced by others. But as a young man, I wanted everyone's approval, everyone's appreciation, everyone's acceptance. And till 30, it was still the same. In my 40s, it started to change. When my 50s came, then I really didn't care that much what other people thought. I'm well into my mid-60s now, and I really actually don't care what anyone thinks. And if someone wants to say something negative to me, then that's their business. I'll just put my tongue up and I won't even respond to them. So I've learned not to let these other people influence or program what I am, because you know that's part of the age. And I encourage young people is don't be too concerned about it. That's a normal thing what they're going through, but learn to protect yourself so you understand those people who have those opinions, even how, no matter how wrong they are. Mm. Our deal is to look after ourselves so we stop influence of others. As I talked about that man, that Simon man who did that treatment with me, that was probably one of the most influential things I had of the power of what another person was. He didn't do anything different to me. He didn't say it. He just said two different statements. Mm. That's the influence of what we let other people do.
It's really incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
In a way, you're a motivational speaker to people because you're giving them these positives to do it. And they'll walk out of those situations with you totally amped, totally ready for new situations and deal with it a little differently. This should be taught to us in school, Lorraine. This is what we should have, not instead of learning when Ferdinand Magellan sailed down the Dardanelles Straits. That's quite irrelevant.
Yeah.
But if you didn't know that at school, you were regarded as stupid. But I ask people that why do they wake between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning? And they'll tell you they need to go to the toilet or the dog barked. And I'll tell them that that's to do with their lungs and they're sad or they've got anxiety or they've got grief or they've got abandonment. And they'll say, well, how do you know? That's what we should be learning. Mm-hmm. So we start understanding our well-being and our health. What it would do is cull immense amount of pressure off the medical world because people would start to learn to manage these things themselves and start to learn there's little parts in our body we can touch, there's little words we can say. So instead of giving our responsibility and our health to others, we start to learn to look after it ourselves. And that's male or female, it doesn't matter who we are, man, woman, child, old person, it's all the same. Mm,
that idea of self-healing, yeah. What, Jimmy, you I think see a lot of women like me and like women in my community or the women that you've seen on my retreat. What do you see the most common challenges that you see Western women experiencing, as in whether they're physical symptoms or emotion or mental health challenges that they're experiencing?
Things I just jotted a few little notes down about what things that I do come across. And the hormonal things is probably the most dominant thing
that would come. I see that so much in my community as well. Yeah.
And then it affects a whole lot of other functions in your body as well.
Yeah.
And quite interesting, the things that control our hormones is thyroid, pituitary gland, pineal gland, and liver. Now, if you look at the things, emotions that are related to them, thyroid, when someone gets overactive, underactive thyroid, or a goiter, or something like that forming the thyroid area, it is the major producer of hormones. Quite interesting, the emotion that is this is humiliating. When is it my turn in life? Now, that's a really common thing with women because they're
fully agree.
A mother, they're one point, you know, this, that, these other titles, but when do they actually get to do what they want to do?
Mm.
Now, again, a question I ask people is, when is it your turn in life? And I would tell you 70% of those women can't answer. A lot will cry because it really hurts them to go, oh, actually, I don't know.
Yeah.
And what I would get them to say is now. That's the first thing they say. And then after they said that a few times of getting over that discomfort, always. And it's not being egotistical. It's not being selfish. It's being centered. And that's our role in life, is to be centered on our well-being and our issues. The other three things, pituitary gland is the control center. It's also another major influence on our hormones. It's the size of a piece of rice. It sits at the root of your nose. But it's an amazingly powerful gland that is called the control center. So it controls hormones. It also controls metabolism in the body. Another powerful thing to that, and I hope that people listen to this, try these little things, but just simply putting the finger on the root of your nose and saying out loud, my mind and body are in perfect balance. I control my thoughts. Now, that's such an empowering thing to do because what you're saying to the universe is, my mind and body are already connected. They're in balance. which means I control my thoughts, which means I control my health. That means others don't affect us. Pineal gland, that thing of touching the tongue to the roof of the mouth, the more you stimulate that point, and this will encourage you to put it there anyway, the more you stimulate that point, the more you stimulate your pineal gland. And pineal gland is about wisdom, insight, intuition, all the things women are gifted with. Men are actually not gifted with those. And as I said, men can learn them. Liver is the other thing, and liver then affects the metabolism greatly, but liver, the emotions with them is about anger, frustration, rage, irrational thinking, stubbornness. Now, anyone alive has all those emotions to them. What a lot of women do is suppress them, which then it causes issues to these things, which ultimately causes hormonal problems. Other little things that come to women is, we've already talked about cysts, breast problems, and breast problems is an absolute clanger. Sore breasts, and it'll come as menstrual cycle comes, breasts will always get tender. But women who also are not in that situation, women always menstruate, but the fact is it's not always a menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. Breasts are about mothering and nurturing. And this is, again, one of these subconscious patterns that are put to women about mothering and nurturing. And what happens to a lot of women in relationships, instead of being the princess, the equal partner, the one is treated with ultimate respect and love and care, he's actually not the girlfriend, she's the mother. And that guy's already got his own mother, and this is where what women get these breast issues, because they've been mother to everyone. And you'll hear women talk about they've got two children they gave birth to, but they'll say, I've got three children.
Yeah. I'm referring to that as the husband. Mental when people say that. Yep. I hate it. And, you know, it's an interesting one that you bring up, the breast problems, because there was a lady who came to my – I hosted a retreat in Noosa on the Sunshine Coast in February. This just gone. And there was a lady who came. She's in her 50s, and she's got five grown-up children. One of the children requires a lot of support from her. And she had some really, really massive breakthroughs on the retreat together. And she went home, and her child was having a certain issue going on in her life. And my retreat attendee developed a really painful lump in her breast and had to rush to go and not rush, but traditional medicine was saying, you know, want to get you in for an ultrasound ASAP type thing. And when she told me that this was happening, I looked up my Louise Hay book, and it said that that was about over-mothering. And I read that to her, and she couldn't believe it, just how on the money it was. So, yeah, that makes total sense what you're saying.
And this is, again, one of the ones I get into saying, that is, I'm important. I count. I now choose to nourish myself with love. I allow others the freedom to be who they are. We're all free. Now, that's incredibly empowering, is saying, because they don't love themselves. They don't think they're important. They don't think they count. I'm just mum. I mean, what an amazing role. As a businesswoman, try and pay a woman for doing that job. It's 24/7, 365 days a week, no holidays. It's for generally life. How do you pay a woman for that? Mm-hmm. So at that point, then she and good mothers care, they love, they nurture, but they forget about nurturing themselves and loving themselves. So this is, again, where breast problem comes. Again, I encourage the woman, pay attention which side of the breast is getting the pain on. If it's left, it's to do with a woman. A lot of times that's also when a woman will then go and be the mother to their mother and father as well. And yes. as well as their children. That in Indonesia is a very common thing, where women will have babies, but they just give the babies and the children to their parents to raise as well. Mm. It's a thing of survival here more than anything else, because they're the ones who are empowered to work. And I shan't go into too much of their culture here, but the point is it's different in every culture. But that thing where women are not allowed to nourish or nurture themselves causes a lot of breast issues, and therefore the lumps or cysts coming in there, because, again, poor me, when's it my turn? I'm running this painful movie in my head. I already mentioned thrush and candida there, and yeast infections. They're all very common things that are always treated medically by potions and creams and medications, instead of starting to ask the self, what's really going on in there? What are we denying the self about? What do we reject in our femininity? What are the principles do we reject? So, as I said, it's one of those things that these all interrelate. That's the thing of these. And every time a question is asked, I'll always still cover over something else's still related to the same issues. And it sounds like a broken record sometimes, Lorraine, because you're saying the same things. Mm-hmm. It's about self-love, self-importance, self-care. Now, very, very few people are ever programmed that way. Yeah. So ankle problems is another clanger that comes into there because ankles are about receiving pleasure.
Yes. Can you talk to this one actually? Because I had an experience on this a while ago.
Because this is the one, this powerful woman gives pleasure beautifully to everyone, but when it's her turn to receive pleasure, she's not that good at receiving it. She's either inflexible or guilty about it.
Yeah.
Now, again, I encourage people to touch their ankles, flick on the ligaments, start feeling how sore they are, then realize, oh, that's one of my programs.
Mm.
And I'm saying there that, you know, I know what it's like and how it feels to receive pleasure on all levels, as a male, with all females, with all males, without guilt and without inflexibility. And that's a real challenge to say to yourself. We're programmed to give. We're not programmed to receive. When logic is said to logical people, when they start hearing this, then they start to realize this is logic about what we should be doing for ourselves. Because if we're not in our power, how then do we become powerful or encouraging to anyone else?
Yeah. And, how do we set the example for the other people in our lives, and most especially the kids as well? Jimmy, can I just come back? You were talking about the thyroid and you said to press the root of your nose. What do you mean? Where is that?
So as your nose comes back to join into your forehead,
yeah.
You it's like a little depression that's just below your eyebrows, but it's right
in the
root of your nose. And again, this is another way of, as you know, one of the things I get women to do is to touch their pubic bone.
Yes. I want to ask you about that in a second. Yeah.
Refer to left referring to estrogen, right referring to testosterone, center referring to progesterone. Now, you do the same thing on your nose as you would do on your thyroid. If you touch either side of them, now you'll find, again, one side will always be more tender than the other.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
And if you then pressed on your throat at the thyroid, so put your fingers at the back of your throat and twist it up and down, you'll find the same side is thicker than what was on your nose.
Yeah.
Then go down to your pubic bone and touch your pubic bone, you find exactly the same thing. So this is, again, how women start to manage this thing about hormones, is laying on their back, getting thumbs into either corner of the pubic bone, because these all relate together, the pituitary gland, thyroid, and the pubic bone. And if you touch on each corner of those pubic bone, you find that the same discomfort is on the same side that was on your nose, was on your throat, will come down to your pubic bone.
Mm.
Every 30 seconds pressing on that point of your pubic bone and saying out loud, I embrace my feminine principles. I love being a woman. And I encourage women, do it for one full cycle. See what difference your cycles make, but also see what difference it makes in your emotions at that time as well.
Mm.
What you'll find, the more powerful it is, which means you're not smearing yourself in progesterone cream, taking estrogen tablets or doing whatever things that the medical world will suggest to you. This is simple things you can do to yourself which start to give you power over the balance of your hormones. And in doing so, then you get power over your head, which means Miss Emotional is not going to come out 3 days before your periods. You're going to stop the cramping and discomfort. You're going to stop these heavy losses of menstrual blood. You start to get a regular flow every 28 to 29 days for 4 to 6 days, empowering yourself as a woman. So that thing of just simply where we talked about that root of the nose, physically you can do it 100 times a day if you want, but I encourage at least once a day that you touch that point, and everything that I get you to do here is not thinking it, but it's saying it out loud, because mm-hmm. this is about law of attraction. So the universe doesn't hear unless you say it. And a simple way of putting this in a negative, people who say, oh, every June I get a cold. Without fail, the 1st of June will come, they'll get a cold.
Yeah.
Tell everyone here, I get a cold every June. Oh, you know, this will never work. Then that's exactly what they're going to get. So we've got to be careful what comes out of our mouth. And that's also the tongue up to the roof of our mouth stops us saying these things. It stops that program coming out. Because once we've said it, we're going to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So we've got to be careful what comes out of their mouth. By saying that little thing, my mind and body are in perfect balance as you're touching this root of your nose, I control my thoughts, then we're not letting this, I describe in our head as having good, bad, black, white, devil and God, whatever term you want to use, but we've all got that voice in our head. This helps control that dark voice. And that's what our aim is, to not let these negative stories, which have pretty well no substance, we let them manifest into some horrific stories that mm-hmm. have got us anxious and in fear and angry at things that don't exist. But we created that story. So it's up to us then to learn how we manage not to let that story come and manifest or try and manifest into something that's real, because it's generally not.
Yeah.
We're pretty good movie makers in our head.
Yeah, we are. We really are. We've talked a lot about the whole idea of women being disconnected from their bodies, their emotions, what's really going on. And I think what I find really interesting about the work that you do and what I've learned from you is that I can start to tune into the little signs that I'm getting, like the ankle or the skin issue or whatever it might be, not just with myself, but with Wade and with Lexi and also my mentees. I have a copy of Louise Hay's book beside my desk when I'm doing my mentoring. And it's incredible how many times I will pick up that book in response to something they've mentioned about something they're experiencing health-wise and how on the money it is. What tips do you have for us to try and stay connected in with ourselves?
Well, that thing of, first of all, getting back to self-love, that's obviously of all the things I do, the most dominant download I do with people is that saying every day, I love and approve of myself. I love and accept myself. I love and appreciate myself. Now, I encourage people, get in front of the mirror and start trying to do it. What you'll find is you'll feel stupid. You'll find reasons not to get in front of the mirror. But that's the most important one of all the downloads I do, fall in love with yourself. And the thing I'll describe to people, if you really, and I don't ask people ever, do they want to be in relationships? I ask them, do they want to be in love? And everyone says, yes, of course. Because a lot of relationships are not healthy, but we choose to be in them. Mm-hmm. And I say to people, if you don't learn to love yourself, how's anyone else going to know how to love yourself? Mm-hmm. Now, that's not how we're programmed. So that of all the things that I can encourage people to do, that's the first thing I get them to do. Get in front of the mirror. Just with your eyes at first, you don't have to look at your whole body, but just start with your eyes. Looking into your eyes, realize how difficult it is. You'll find reasons not to get in front of the mirror. You'll find it hard to look at yourself. You'll find yourself thinking you're silly. But like everything, the first time we do it, we're not experts. Mm-hmm. But I encourage you, you're not going to learn to do this by doing it for a week. It requires your life experience to do this. So, you know, after a year or two, what I then tell people is you fall in love with yourself, you'll actually start attracting love to you you didn't know existed. But until you know how to love yourself, nobody else is going to know how to love you. Now, that's not being egotistical or selfish. It's being centered. And that's what the world could do a whole lot more about is learning to love ourselves, because we have no problems being negative or critical of ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we have big problems about loving ourselves. That's the first thing I do. With women, I'd encourage to start that touching of the pubic bone. Not as the bone faces up to the ceiling, it's as the bone faces back towards you. And they'll be surprised when they touch there how tender it is.
Yeah.
But as I said, to get this little confirmation, touch the root on the either side of the root of your nose and you'll feel a difference in the texture of there. Touch either side of your thyroid in your throat, you'll find it'll coincide with the same thing there. Go down your pubic bone and you'll find the same discomfort is on the same side that the block is. Now, what it'll tell you, and your hormones change from depending on what part of your cycle you're in. Your hormones constantly keep changing. So it'll actually change as you're either ovulating or menstruating or in between the situation, or indeed if you're pregnant, because they're all at different levels of hormones you have in your body. Mm-hmm. Women are in caves. That's the thing that keeps them in their head, is when their hormones are balanced, they're balanced.
Yeah.
And that's what the pituitary gland is about getting the control center in order. The thyroid is the same. About saying it's my turn always or now, whichever they're comfortable with. That touching of the roof of the mouth is the connecting that pineal or pineal gland, however you like to describe it, opens women's skill. And women are incredible wisdom, incredible insight, incredible intuition. A thing I often ask women, and they'll say, he's cheating on me. And I'll say, well, how do you know? And they just smile and go, I know. And they're quite correct. If they know a situation is not safe, they'll know straight away. The problem with this disconnection that happens, they don't listen to it. Mm. And that's what people start learning, is to listen to intuition, not necessarily heart. Now, I go against what a lot of people say. As I say, your intuition never lies. Your wisdom never lies. Your heart lies often. A situation that came recently, a woman, I thought she'd fallen off a motorbike, and she was all bruised and injured on her face and her shoulder. And I asked her what the accident was. She said, oh, my partner beats me. And as a father, a husband, a son, a mother, sisters, wife, children, daughters, granddaughters, I'm mortified as a man to hear that a man would do that to a woman. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I said, why do you stay there? And she said, oh, but I love him. And what I got to do later, Lorraine, was to put a hand over her heart, open her third eye up, and I asked her again, what do you think of this man? And her instant response is, oh, he's a dickhead. Well, why did you not listen to your intuition? And she chooses to stay there, and that's her business. But that's the point, is her wisdom and her intuition told her exactly what was going on there, but her fear of not being loved or being in some connection of some so-called relationship causes her to go through this self-harm and self-hurt and disrespect of another person. And none of us certainly deserve that. If I could encourage anything, it's fall in love with the self. A little thing, go back to when men and boys and girls are existent, and acne is a very prominent issue that happens to children. Acne is purely about dislike of self. Now tell me, what child doesn't want to be the rock star or the sporting star or the most popular kid in the class? So of course they feel inadequate about themselves, so their skin will blow up. As most kids get to around 20, 21, their skin all starts to go beautiful because they're starting to be comfortable with themselves.
Yeah.
If they were taught these things as little children about loving themselves and accepting themselves and appreciating themselves, they wouldn't get these problems. Here's another thing of the medical world. Tell me, what boy is put on a pill to fix his skin up, but girls are expected to?
Now, that's funny you said that, because Wade did the skin. It's a Roaccutane, I think, Wade did when he was a teenager to clear up his skin. It's just funny you said that. But yeah, it's a lot more expected of women to do that than men.
Well, it's predominantly a common thing that we're given. So what they also do in that little case, we'll just, not let them have children at the same time, which clearly children, you don't want children to be having children. But the point is, there's the thing that they'll gladly do predominantly to a woman, though they'll rarely do to a young male, is put a contraception or a hormone into their body, which so-called balances them. Instead of getting, go and learn how to love yourself. Go and find the nice qualities about yourself. Because everything that walks into a medical practitioner's space, I believe, is a mental health condition, but it's treated medically.
And a doctor, an interesting reframe. Yeah.
A doctor doesn't have the time to sit and talk about these things. A doctor prescribes, and that's what he's programmed to do, and that's what he's paid to do. And I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I mean, we all do what we believe is right. And clearly, the doctor who actually will talk is probably going to get a better result than the one who just looks, ticks the boxes of, you have these conditions, I then give you this medication. Mm-hmm. The one who actually talks and finds out, well, what's happening with mum at the moment? What's happening at school?
But then they'll
be told that you're not a psychologist, you're not a counsellor, you're a doctor.
Yeah, but you've only got 5 minutes booked in.
This is the problem. We all get titled.
Yeah.
We all have these abilities, no matter who we are. We all have these abilities.
Yeah.
What you do in your business is exactly the same as I do, because you're putting these positives into people. We just do it with a different term and a different way of doing it. And that's why there's so many different modalities, because they all have their valid application. Just some work better for some people than others. Clearly, there's the more we do these things and open our head about seeing there is other ways of doing it, because that's what I love about Louise Hay. Her stuff is, if you're honest and real with yourself and you read those things that are put there, you have to go, oh, that's exactly what's in my head. All right, start saying these words, then use this protection for yourself, then you're not going to attract these problems again. It's amazing what we don't attract again.
This
because of a car accident, injured my shoulder and back, and the medical world wanted to fuse my discs and do a lateral release on my shoulder. I'm 64. That was 44 years ago. I've never had an operation, and I don't have those problems. But I realised how burdened I was by my attitude. I realised how much I feared the future, how powerless I felt. By saying those little words of, I trust the process of life, which I've already gone through before, and I love and approve of myself, and my experiences are joyful and loving, I don't have those problems anymore. Now, this doesn't require Einstein to do this. This requires getting your head out of our program square, putting it outside there and start trying another different way. One thing I do say to Lorraine, to people, is you have nothing to lose by doing this.
Yeah, such a good point.
And that's the point, is try it. You've got nothing to lose, but try it with 100% effort. Don't be half-hearted how you do it. And, of course, we're not going to believe it as we start to do it, but the more we do it, the more it becomes our entrenched program, like our two times tables did. When you first given them as a kid and you were told to go home and learn them, and you'd sit there running them over and over in your head, and 6 months later someone said two twos and you just answered four, because it was deeply programmed in your head.
Yeah.
But you had no idea why. 10 years later, as you're learning to use distances and money and that, you start to learn, oh, that's why I need to know my two times tables. Of course. These things about self-love and self-care and seeing yourself as being important, they're not easy to do at the start. But as you keep doing them, they become your entrenched program.
Yeah.
And therefore will then affect other people, not how we did negatively. We affect them positively because we put positives out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
Amazing. Jimmy, you're an absolute gold mine. I feel like we've covered lots, but we've kind of come back to the same simple practices each time, which is really wonderful. And I think it really helps if people are listening, or particularly women are listening to this, and there's certain themes that are coming up for them, that the answers are actually quite simple. Like you say, it doesn't need to cost lots of money. It doesn't need to cost lots of time. And you're so right. We literally have nothing to lose from exploring this.
Get outside of the square of how we're programmed, because we are programmed, and some of the programs are positive, some are stupid. Mm. And like the computer, if the program was too slow or gave you the wrong information, you'd simply delete the program, download a new program, agree with the new program, put your virus protector in there. Oh,
so good. Yes, love that. And Jimmy, if people want to work with you or learn more about you, where should they go? What should they do?
I am available on WhatsApp. I don't have a website, Lorraine. I rely on just, I'm a dinosaur on still.
Yeah, you rely on word of mouth, which is great. Yeah.
I always respond to people if they have questions. My email is doylesurfing@gmail.com.
Perfect. I'll pop that into the show notes as well so people have it handy.
My number's on WhatsApp there. I'm always happy to respond. As I said, I do this on FaceTime with people. It's just getting outside that there is other ways of doing this, that you don't require medications and potions. You can do this yourself because you program it into yourself. Yeah. And I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to go and talk this. And what you beautifully put to the end of the rain was, it all comes back to the same thing: protection, self-love, self-care.
Yeah.
And that's how we're programmed. And the more we do that, the more people like you keep spreading this word. I'm ever grateful that there's powerful women and men like you in the world that do these things, because if you don't do them, people don't know. And that's all it is. So.
Thank you. And I'm sure we'll all be stampeding over to Bali as soon as we can get over there. So
Bali's missing one year. It's pining for holidays makers to come back. So
I know. Thank you so much for sharing everything with us. And like I said, I'll pop your contact details into the show notes as well, so people can come find you. I'm sure you'll have lots of people who are keen to explore this more with you one-on-one.
Thank you, Lorraine. And as I said before, I thank you for your opportunity. Without powerful people like you letting this get out. In my 38 years of doing this, I've treated over 75,000 people, which sounds a lot.
Wow.
Take it out of the world population of 7.5 million people, it's less than 0.001%. It's nothing. Yeah. So unless we spread and more people talking about it, then this situation doesn't get known in the world. And that's most people think this is strange to hear this. I'm sure the people listening to your podcast are people who have already had that vibration, already understand those things. But I encourage you, empower yourself, love yourself, care for yourself, protect yourself.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jimmy. I hope to see you in person. Maybe not really soon, but as soon as we can.
As soon as we can. I always look forward to your voice, and I'd love to see you. And I'll
speak
to you.
Thank you. See you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Dan. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Jimmy, for joining us and sharing all of your wisdom on the show this week. If you would like to find out more about working with Jimmy, as he said, he doesn't have a website because he's a dinosaur, I will pop his email address in the show notes. It's doylesurfing@gmail.com, but I'll pop one in the show notes as well. That's the best way to reach out to him and talk to him potentially about doing some work with him if you feel called to do so. So next week is the last episode of this season, and it's also the last episode before I sail into babyland. So I want to plan something special for next week's episode. I'm just about to do a shout out on Instagram to get some guidance from my community as to how I should approach the last episode before I leave for babyland. So sending you much love as always, and thank you so much for tuning in again this week. I love bringing you these episodes, particularly with the experts that are near and dear to my heart as well. So I really hope you enjoyed Jimmy's conversation this week. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.